Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, a partner at PricewaterhouseCoopers, and tonight's conversation is with Dr. Kennett Prewer, Director of the Bureau of the Census. Well, Census 2000 is often described as the largest peacetime mobilization in history. Can you tell us more about this effort?
Yes, you're correct. It is called the largest peacetime mobilization in history. That's slightly inflated in the sense that every census is bigger than the one before. So every decade we can call it the largest peacetime mobilization in history. It's actually not as large, for example, as counting the people of China, but we do count in a more complicated way. A census is really two things. It's both a count and it's this assignment of everyone to a residency, to a location, because a census has to do that. So the enormous challenge of a census is to get those two things happening simultaneously. That is, your address file work has to be every bit as rigorous and quality controlled as your counting work, because finally, at the end of the day, you have to put people someplace, because that's how the reapportionment, redistricting, and so forth function. So yes, it is huge. You have to prepare a very long time. Indeed, I think people don't understand completely. We started preparing for Census 2000 in about 1988. I wasn't here then, of course, but I can tell you already we have a 2010 planning process, partly because when you want to innovate, you want to do something new in a census, you want to test it in a census environment, and you only get a shot of that every 10 years. So you can't wait, for example, to 2007 and say, wouldn't it be interesting to do something, so forth and so on. And if you'd only thought about doing that, 7 years ago and tested it out in the census environment, you have a much better sense of it. A census bureau has to be fairly cautious, because it's so big, so complex, that if you do something wrong, and it moves very, very fast, of course, you don't have time to recover. And so you've got to build in, you've got to be fairly prudent about how you move into new directions. And so that's why if you can test things in an earlier census environment, and that's why we're doing so much work right now that's really aimed at 2010, not at 2000. We're running maybe as many as 40 or 50 different experiments embedded in the census. Now, the American public hardly notices those. They're very, from the American public's point of view, they're very tiny little things. But we might, change the way we write our advance letter, and just to see if that affected the way in which we got responses. Well, maybe only 5,000 people get that. We also, not in the census itself, but in the census environment, we send out a questionnaire asking information that we didn't actually have on the actual census questionnaire, and that was a separate process in order to sort of test that in the census environment. So yes, the planning for a census for anything of this magnitude has a long running start. The biggest task, well, not the biggest task, it's hard to say what is the biggest task, but certainly the personnel task in Census 2000 was enormous. Altogether, during our major field operations, we ran about 920,000 people through payroll. Now, some of them worked 3 or 4 weeks, some of them worked 3 or 4 months, some of them worked 2 or 3 years. But altogether, it was 920,000 temporary people that were brought in to work on the census. Simply recruiting them, training them, and paying them was itself a management challenge.
Census 2000 is the first fully computerized census, as I understand it, from collecting data to releasing the final results on the Internet. Can you tell us about the role of technology in the census and how it perhaps differs from the 1990 census?
Just for fun, let me go all the way back to 1880. We did the census in 1880, and it took about a year and a half to produce the first results. And a young engineer working for the Census Bureau said, my goodness, this isn't good enough. So he began to play with something that was a simple tabulating machine, card punch, for the 1890 census. His name was Herman Hollerith. Mr. Hollerith devised this little machine, and we used it in the 1890 census, used it again in the 1900 census. It really speeded things up. Mr. Hollerith then left the Census Bureau, taking his key punch machine with him, and formed a partnership with somebody making tabulating equipment, and that became IBM. So the origin of the international business machine and then the whole computer industry really started with the Census Bureau innovation. I tell that story because the Census Bureau has to constantly innovate technologically. because the job gets bigger and bigger. One of the things that hasn't changed, really, for almost 100 years, is the time frame within which we have to present the numbers. We collect the data, as you know, on April 1st, and then we have to give the major apportionment counts, that is how many seats in the House go to the various states, by December 31, 9 months. That 9 months was also the 9 months we had, for example, in 1930. Population was half the size, much easier to count. So the only way you can get productivity gains in that sort of short time frame when you're simply doing a more complicated job is with technological innovation. Long preface to your question, but by the time we got to 2000, we had put in some really major innovations compared to 1990. One small one, then I'll talk about a bigger one, not really small, but perhaps less consequential. One of the things we had to innovate in was our payroll system. Hiring, paying, recruiting, training, doing the whole benefit programs and everything else for 920,000 employees, some of whom, as I say, came in and out in 3 or 4 days, but you had to treat them like a full employee and so forth. We had to have a very automated payroll system, administration system, that had to be sufficiently sophisticated and flexible that it could be managed at the local level by people who themselves were temporary. You know, we had to train them to use the system to train the temporary people. And so our payroll administration system worked extremely well. We were very pleased with it. But that was a big innovation in itself. Certainly in 2000, the more important, in a sense, technological innovation was in our data capture system. If you go back to 1990, you may recall that the census form had little circles called FOSDIC circles, which you filled in. And you could data scan those little marked in circles with your pencil. That, by the way, the FOSDIC circle technology was also a Census Bureau innovation of a couple censuses earlier. The problem, of course, with that technology is that it's a bit more demanding on the respondent, and it's more complicated to write the questionnaire. So what we decided in 2000, and we did this primarily with some important big contracts with Lockheed Martin and TRW, we decided that we would try to go to optical character recognition, that is a data scanning that could actually read handwriting, could read your name, your address, your Indian tribe, your ethnicity, your ancestry, what have you. And we designed a questionnaire that would then depend upon optical character recognition, intelligent character recognition, that had to count huge amounts of questionnaires very fast. It worked. We are extremely pleased with this innovation.
Well, I know you want to tell us more. Hold that point. It's time for a break. We'll be right back with more of the Business of Government Hour.